The Bible isn't about you. It's about what Jesus has done for you.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
I'm going to take 3 to 4 of the most popular misquoted evangelical proof texts and demonstrate from the texts themselves that if you read yourself into them, you not only miss the point, you miss the comfort of the cross. And so I'm going to tell you the better story that these texts actually tell you when you put them back into context.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against me-centered, misquoted scriptures June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Look around you.
We hear it all the time from our listeners, as often as we talk about Christian vocation, how it sets them free. Now, what really sets people free in Christian vocation is being free from the need to please God, free from the need that terrible weight of thinking, I've got to do it myself. What is it about the biblical teaching of Christian vocation that is so liberating to so many who have lived under kind of the constant, I need to do this, I need to accomplish, that comes not only from our culture, but also from our church? Joining us to talk about the dignity of every Christian vocation, Edie Wadsworth. She left her career as a family doctor to homeschool her youngest children and pursue her love of writing. She is author of the popular blog Life in Grace, and she's also written an article for the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Leveling the Field. Edie, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thank you very much for having me.
You say that understanding Christian vocation, the Bible's teaching of vocation, sets us free. What do you mean by that?
Well, I grew up in the evangelical church, and in that environment, you always felt like you felt compelled to do something spiritual with your life, maybe be a missionary or some kind of Christian work, and it always seemed like that type of work was valued over something like working in a restaurant or becoming a doctor. And when I found the teachings of vocation, thanks so much to Issues Etc. for that, it really was so freeing to realize that what we do every day in service of our neighbor, whether that's take care of our kids at home, changing diapers, or any type of work we do, is work that is valued by Christ because it's a way that we serve our neighbor.
So it's this freedom from you've got to go out and do something big, you've got to go out and do something especially spiritual or associated with missionary work or the church or something like that?
Right. And I think that for most of us, we realize that our lives look pretty normal. You know, we go to work every day, or for me, when I'm writing or doing stuff with my kids, it feels very mundane and normal, and it sometimes doesn't feel like what we're doing is a Christian-type work or something that is spiritual. But I think that the teaching of vocation really frees us from that and helps us to see that no matter what we do in service of our neighbor, that it's sanctified by Christ, and He's there in our vocation serving our neighbor through the work that we do every day.
You have an interesting insight. You say that vocation is here to protect us from becoming too spiritual. What do you mean?
Yeah, I think I first heard that actually from a pastor on Issues Etc. that when they talked about a lot of the evangelical parts of the evangelical movement can make you seem almost more spiritual than God. And that quote really stuck with me. And I felt like, you know, when I quit my job as a family doctor several years ago, it was very difficult for me to find my way and figure out, well, how can I do something that is important and serves people? And again, coming from a background of evangelicalism where spiritual work was kind of separate from mundane daily work. And so it really, I think I had a lot of guilt that I wasn't doing something that felt very spiritual. It doesn't feel like you're doing sacred work when you're teaching your young kids their multiplication tables or teaching them how to read. And I think that the teaching on vocation really helps us to see that Christ uses us and works through us in our everyday lives, and that we don't have to pursue things that are quote-unquote spiritual. And I think I see, you know, in a lot of our movements, especially in the American church, that people are so drawn to big movements and big gatherings and the next big series and the next big book, because we don't see that the daily work we do every day is spiritual, because Christ has sanctified our work and uses our work in service of our neighbor. And actually, I think that a lot of times the good works that we think we're doing often draw us away from the neighbors that we're actually called to serve. And so before I joined the Lutheran Church, I might be at my evangelical church 5 or 6 nights a week doing some type of work, which would draw me away from my family, you know, and serving my family and providing for them and cooking for them and teaching my kids. And this teaching, I think, really protects us from that. It helps us to see that the work we're doing every day is Christ working through us to serve the people around us.
Edie Wadsworth is our guest. We're talking about the dignity of every Christian vocation on this Friday afternoon, February the 28th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The CLCC Spring Conference, Building Up the Body of Christ, is April 29th and 30th in Bloomington, Minnesota. Join us, won't you, with Pastors Jonathan Fisk, David Kind, and Rob Jarvis, and explore ideas for engaging youth and younger adults to become more involved in the life of the church. We hope you can be there with us. All the conference details are at theclcc.org. Building Up the Body of Christ, April 29th and 30th in Bloomington, Minnesota. Get registered today at theclcc.org.
This is Pastor Clint Pompey, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the dignity of every Christian vocation. Edie Wadsworth is our guest, author of the popular blog Life in Grace. Edie, how is the neighbor central to this right understanding of Christian vocation?
Yeah, I think this is kind of what helped drive it home for me, is that we all are gifted with these gifts that God has given us, our resources, our talent, our time. We're all gifted with this, and then trying to figure out what to do with all those things. And I think focusing on the neighbor is such a great way to see your life and to see the meaning that it has. And so, you know, I might be gifted in cooking. So how can I use that those gifts to serve my neighbor? Well, my family gets hungry several times a day, so I can cook for them. You know, I can teach my daughters how to do that. And I think just our regular everyday callings are so important because we see there, and I think even in the meaning of the word neighbor, that there are people who are near us, the ones who are near us every day are the ones that we're called to serve. And I think sometimes those are the hardest people to serve because those are the people we live with and we take for granted that it could be, you know, an act of service to Christ just to serve our husband and our children and our coworkers. But I think keeping in mind that the neighbor is the thing that's central really keeps us focused on what's important. And I think the reason we can do that is because Christ has given us everything we need in himself, in his life. He's poured his righteousness in us. He's forgiven us. He feeds us every week with word and sacrament. And so that frees us up to be able to serve our neighbor and to focus our energies toward the neighbor.
I remember when it came clear for me because I thought, okay, now I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to be somehow serving. I had it in my head that I would be serving God directly. And maybe that's part of the reason why I decided to become a pastor. I wanted to kind of serve God directly. And that burnt out real fast because I ran up against the truth that God doesn't need anything I do for him. He doesn't need anything at all that I do for him, serving him directly. And it was when I stopped trying to serve him directly and realized he's got lots of people around. He's put a lot of people around me that need me. It's, yeah. I mean, as rotten as I am, they need me. My wife, my kids, the people I work with and work for, my congregation. Believe it or not, they need me and the stuff that I can do. And then he says, guess what? That's doing it unto me.
Right.
What are your thoughts there?
Oh, I think it's so true. And it made me very emotional when this truth finally came home for me. It felt like such a freedom to, just like what you're saying, to not feel like I need to have some unmediated experience with God, and that would mean I'm spiritual, or I do some great work in Africa for orphans, and that makes me spiritual. And it was such a relief to find that Jesus, his life in me, him pouring himself into me, has done everything for me. I don't need to try to be spiritual. He has given that to me freely as a gift from God. And so now I'm free to serve my neighbor. And yes, it has been life-changing for me. And it's helped me because I came to a point where, having quit my job and then I was homeschooling these kids and I wasn't making any money and not coming from a background of good teaching on this, it was easy to fall into despair and feel like, what am I doing now? All of a sudden I went from, you know, doing a profession that everybody agrees is noble, and now I'm home teaching math, and and where's Jesus in this? And it has just been so freeing to realize that all those little things I do for those kids and for my family, that's all as if I were doing it to Christ. And what a blessing and what a freedom to not feel like I have to be driven to the next big thing, you know, in American Christianity, that I can just rest in Jesus and what he's already done for me and given for me, and I can focus my energy on my neighbor. And like you say, there's no shortage of neighbors, and there's no shortage of their needs. You know, the people in my life, it's all I can do to serve the people in my own life. And when I focused on that and rested in that, there's such a freedom that comes from feeling like you need to do something bigger or more meaningful or more quote-unquote Christian.
You said earlier that vocation is there to keep us from becoming too spiritual, but you also say on the other side of the coin that it's there to keep us from becoming too worldly. Explain that, Edie.
Yeah, you know, and maybe I speak for myself, but when I wrote the article for the Lutheran Witness, I was so convicted about just how sinful we all are. We're sinful and greedy and rugged individualist Americans. We are keeping up with the Joneses. You know, we want the next big thing. We want our kids to get the best jobs and go to the best schools. And we have this idea of what it's like to live out the American dream. And, you know, it just dawned on me that maybe that's not God's dream for humanity. And maybe the person who is serving in the humblest of ways is just as fitted for their vocation as the Ivy League surgeon taking out your pancreas. And it's so true that we in our society have placed these levels of vocation where this vocation is really important, but this one doesn't seem so important. And in the teaching, the scriptural teaching of vocation just levels that, because Christ hides himself in our work, in our humble callings, whether we be the president of the United States or whether we're taking out the garbage at a stadium or whatever it is that he's given us to do. He hides himself there and uses that to serve our neighbor. And I do think it keeps us from becoming too worldly, because we see how he levels things in vocation and how he uses every job in order to provide us and our neighbors with daily bread.
Now, that's the insight that I find most interesting in what you've written recently, and that is vocation levels the field. No one gets to say, my service is somehow exemplary as opposed to yours. Talk about that and the kind of the freedom of conscience that one derives from knowing that, well, kind of we're all in it together, but also that that everyone's work is necessary and everyone's work is equally valued by God.
Right. Yeah, and I think coming from the background that I do, where, you know, I spent 13 years trying to learn how to be a doctor, and for various reasons and family circumstances, ended up quitting my job and staying home with my kids and homeschooling them. And I had to wrestle with that, whether or not this is important, what I'm doing every day, because the culture doesn't value it as much as it valued the job I had before. And a lot of people don't value it. And then there are questions of why would you go through all that schooling, you know, to quit your job. And I really wrestled with that, trying to come up with an answer that helped my own self work through it, but also gave me an answer for other people. And vocation is the answer to that. Vocation helps us see that no matter what we do, Christ is pleased to use the work of our hands to serve other people in whatever way he may, in whatever place we find ourselves. And I think we just have to look around and see that the neighbors, the people that surround us in our lives, their needs are more pressing than ever. And we are perfectly situated near them in their life and perfectly gifted to meet those needs. And I think, too, that what I have realized in my vocation as mother, wife, writer, all the hats that I wear, the things that I do, is that vocation is where I sin the most. This place is where, when I confess my sins on Sunday morning, I don't have to look very far around to see who I've sinned against. And I think living in repentance, in our vocation, and realizing that this is where we sin, but this is also where Christ is pleased to use our works to serve our neighbor, it's such a freeing teaching and something. It's just one of the favorite things that I've found in the Lutheran teachings that's so different than what our culture teaches.
You have kids. How old are your kids now that are still at home?
11 and 13, and then we have several more up in college and all that.
So you really only have a handful of years before it's you and Steve sitting on the rocking chair, so to speak.
That's right.
I remember being asked by an old woman who is at the end of her life, and, you know, what did I do with my life? What am I doing with my life right now? And I remember the only thing I could say to her is, you know, maybe it's God's calling for you to just sit in that rocking chair. Keep the rocking chair warm now.
Yeah.
And the fruit of the labor that you've done throughout your life, you've trained a lot of people in their vocation to serve their neighbors. As you face the prospect of, you know, of changing vocations, already changed for you, Edie, many times, the kids are out of the house, those little neighbors become big neighbors. What is the next stage there?
Yeah, and I think that's too where it's so the teaching on vocation is so freeing, because I don't even feel that angst. You know, I just know that the next stage will bring new neighbors, maybe the same neighbors in a different stage, and there's never going to be a shortage of people to serve, of work to do for other people, and we'll never run out of a way that we can help and serve our neighbor. And it's like the ultimate job security. Jesus has chosen to use us in our everyday life, in the thing that we're already doing every day, to serve each other. And, you know, I remember being a young evangelical and just searching like crazy for trying to find and discern and walk in God's will. And what I've realized is that if most of us will just look around, we're doing that already. God's will is that you be saved and that you trust in Him and that you use all your energy and resources not to somehow please Him directly, as you said, but to use those in order to care for and love our neighbors, which He loves so much and is just pleased to use our work to show that love to others.
Edie Wadsworth is our guest, author of the popular blog Life and Grace and an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Leveling the Field. A few more minutes with her, then Soundbite of the Week. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Check out the updated showroom at Valo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville. Valo's offers free in-home measurement, interior design consultation, and experienced installation. Celebrating 50 years of trusted experience, Valo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788 or valofloor.com.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the dignity of every Christian vocation. Edie Wadsworth is our guest. And when we say every, we mean every. I wouldn't want anyone to think on the basis of this conversation that Christian vocation only applies to people who've kind of reached the adult stage of life or making a living doing this or doing that, that kind of productive work of husband, wife, mother, father that we always think about when we think of vocation. Vocation begins when life begins at conception. We are already given a calling there, even according to that natural birth by God, a station in life that we occupy our entire life. It changes from time to time. Even our children have their callings. That's the subject of our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February. How Can I Help? God's Calling for Kids. It is a children's book. It's intended to teach this basic teaching of Christian vocation to our children. Find out more about it. Give Concordia Publishing House a call, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Edie, I listened to your story. I picture you, you know, spending all those years going to medical school with the intent of going off and doing something great, like a medical missionary or something like that. Your intentions were to go out there and kind of conquer the world for Jesus, do something big. But it strikes me that none of that time was wasted, even though you may have had the wrong idea in mind and those things didn't come to pass. None of that idea, none of that time was wasted. God still managed to use you for your neighbor even through that.
That's right. And I think a lot of times, too, I've realized along the journey that He has a lot of work to do on us, to sanctify us, to soften our hearts, to dig up the ground in our lives. He has a lot of work to do to make us into what He wants us, and I think He uses all those circumstances. I don't think one of those late nights studying for microbiology and gross anatomy, I don't think any of that time was wasted. I really don't. I think He does His work, and there's not such a mystery to it. I think I grew up feeling like there's this mysterious will of God out there that I somehow have not been able to locate or find. And the truth is, the mystery is all Christ. He's done everything for us, and the circumstances of our lives are just the place where He's making us ready to serve Him. You know, so whatever He's doing in your life, whether it's trial or suffering or intense schooling that you think is going to kill you, all those things, He's using those in order that He's equipping you to serve your neighbors. And I see that so much now that I feel like I'm not chasing that mysterious will of God out there somewhere. His will is right here in what I do every day to care for the people that I love and that He loves.
Edie Wadsworth left her career as a family doctor to homeschool her youngest children, pursue her love of writing. She is author of the popular blog Life in Grace. You'll find a link at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. And she's written an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Leveling the Field. Edie, thank you very much. Back to work.
Thank you, Todd. Yep.